¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Talking to some of the best voices in Nashville. This is One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Also brought to you by
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Bass Tire Company, Sam's Sports Place and Sports Grill, Holiday Inn Express Nashville Airport, Valentino's Ristorante, and Sir Speedy of Music City.
One-on-One with Greg Pogue. Broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Now, here's Greg Pogue.
Well, good Saturday morning and happy Valentine's Day. It is 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service. Once again, happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Hug your sweethearts and hug the ones you don't like. Hey, that's even better. I want to thank Chase McCabe, program director. Of course, I have MTSU women's basketball duties quite often these days on Saturdays, and he's done a great job filling in. But you've got – I almost feel like I'm filling in for Chase this morning. And our guest is Terrell Davis. He's the publisher of Middle Tennessee Racing News. Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway would just close without him. And there you are, Mr. Davis. Put that up a little right in front of your mouth there. There you go. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How y'all doing?
Yeah, good.
Everything is nice here at Roy's Meat Service. Had just had me a nice sausage and biscuit and egg. And, man, I love coming down here.
I know. I saw you here, what, Wednesday?
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And I'd been planning on having you, inviting you, and I said, I'm going to do it. And I'm really disappointed, though, Terrell Davis, that Gracie's not here.
Well, Gracie, it's Valentine's Day, so my present to her was to leave her in bed. I did not even tell her I was leaving. I just left. She'll know where I am. So
there's a lot of stories we're going to get to, especially our paths when they crossed maybe close to 40 years ago, 35 to 40 years ago when I first came to work in Nashville.
36 years ago.
Tell me about Middle. Let's just don't bury the lead. Tell me about Middle Tennessee Racing. You just celebrated, what, 30 years?
30 years,
what yes. is it?
Yes, Middle Tennessee Racing News is one of the, if not the only, print publication dedicated to racing left, probably in America. We've been doing it for 30, we started in 1994, 95, in that era. Me and a guy named Joe Shavak. At the request of Dave Kohler, who was a GM at the Fairgrounds Speedway, and Bob Harmon, we came down and started it, and it became the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway program. And then past that, we just kept it going, and we've had a lot of success with it. We do mainly local racing, but we do get into IndyCar racing and NASCAR, of course. We're more local now. We cover dirt tracks, and a guy named Chris Slater is one of our key dirt track guys. He works for Southern All-Stars and some other operations, and it's fun. Do I make money at it? Well, there are years that I would take my losses as a gain and be better off. you know how that goes, Craig. You've been doing this a long time, and we were in the radio business ourselves for a good long time. Had a show on 104.5 on Sunday nights, and me and Liz Allison and Larry Woody and Ricky Haynes and a bunch of local racing folks, and very successful, sponsored by Town and Country Ford, a long time sponsor. Hayes Motor Group, who still sponsor us, as a matter of fact, and quite involved with us. But it's more of a passion for me. I'm 75 years old, and I've been retired basically for Gracie, my wife, says I've been retired all my life. But for the past 8-9 years, I haven't really been out beating the bushes too much. But I do enjoy this, and one thing that it gives me is a press pass to any race I want to go to in America, pretty much.
Well, and with that, the media, free media food, too.
That's you know, that's some real good stuff. As a matter of fact, the National Super Speedway generally does have pretty good
Well, it's because food. Jeff Roy in Roy's Meat Service does all the catering, okay?
Yeah, it's really good stuff, really good stuff.
Terrell Davis with us here, one-on-one with Greg Pogue. It is the publisher. We're going to get into a lot of different things. But take me back to 1994. Why was it important then that you do this?
Well, we had a newspaper in Smyrna called, as you well remember, because you wrote some sports for it, called the North Rutherford County Reporter, something I started in 1990-ish. Kept it going for about 10 years before it sunk. But we were doing that, so we had a full staff, and we were covering local racing in our paper, and that's when Dave Kohler from the fairgrounds called us and said, hey, you need another profit center. Well, I took it that means we could make money off of it. But anyway, that got us started, and you know, it's the paper, the North Rutherford County Reporter, eventually went bye-bye, and we kept the racing news going, Middle Tennessee Racing News, and we published at one time. We published probably 24 times a year. We're down. We publish about 8 or 9 times a year now. Racing season, basically monthly. And Larry Woody, who was a longtime sports writer, Hall of Famer for the Nashville Tennessean, he writes a lot for us. He's one of our key people.
It's in his blood, isn't it? He can't get it out of it.
He fusses about it and says he's gonna. It's his last story, his last year, and then he calls up and says, "What do we got?" You know. So, Woody is the best writer I've ever been around, and I can't say he's the best reporter I've ever been around, because Woody's like me and a lot of other people in print. You've been in a lot of print yourself, and you know that those mistakes come easily, but once they come, they stay there forever.
Oh yeah,
I can pick up a paper that I wrote something in 1992, and it's got a mistake in it. Guess what? It hasn't changed.
Yeah. Well, and that's the industry is you're really, and people don't realize behind the scene you're in a mistake. You know, that's what you worry about the most, because, you know, you could put 99% of what you're doing, and you do that one, that's what they remember you by, right? So, yeah. But Terrell Davis with us, publisher of Middle Tennessee Racing News, also on the advisory board of the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, where he is a member of the Hall of Fame at that. And we're going to get in, we're going to build up to the hard part, okay? We'll get down to where all of that mess is out there in a little bit, in a while as well. So where is it today? You said 8 or 9 times, and where can you distribute it? Where can I go get it?
Oh, you can get it at any racetrack, and we've probably got 20 or 25 locations around that we drop papers off to every time we publish, and people come and get them there.
Where do you print it?
We print it in Franklin Franklin Webb.
Yeah, Franklin Webb.
You're familiar with that.
As soon as I asked the question, Franklin Webb, they've been around forever.
Franklin Webb was around. I was with the Franklin Review Appeal from 1980 to 1984. I was their GM over there for the last couple of years I was there. And Franklin Webb then printed our paper, so I was familiar with those guys. And then Middle Tennessee Racing News, sort of like...
Was there a guy there named Matt Coyle?
Matt Coyle, his son Chris Coyle runs the operation now.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast today, but I can remember that name from 30 years ago.
Yeah, Matt ran that operation for a long time. He still owns it, but his son Chris runs it now. And I think Matt, as a matter of fact, I think Matt lives here in... He may live here in East Nashville somewhere. He did. Yeah. I don't know if he still does or not, but great people.
We talked about why is it important then. Why is it important now?
It's important. The paper's important. I tell you, this is what does it for me, the reason I keep doing it. If I did not do it, would it close the racing world down? Of course not. But when I walk out of the National Fairgrounds Speedway, Duck River Raceway Park, Highland Rim, any of those speedways that I frequent, when I walk out of there and I see guys walking and ladies, but mainly guys walking out, and a copy of Middle Tennessee Racing News is tucked under their arm or stuck in their, you know, pocket, and they taking it home, I've had people tell me, I've got every issue that you have ever done.
Wow.
I say, well, wow, I don't. So, you know, it's right now for me, it's more sentimentality, I guess. We make enough money to take a mini vacation every year, and that's about enough.
But you know, and I see it. Your supporters are not only supporting you, Terrell Davis, and also Middle Tennessee Racing News, but they see it as an overall support of the
racing.
Local racing scene.
Yes,
correct.
Yes, and Greg, you know as well as I do, the local racing scene has diminished. Let's say that over the past 15 or 20 years, you know, when at the Fairgrounds Speedway in 1996-97, you'd go there, the stands would be pretty much full. You would have the late model car count would be, they would send cars home, and they started 36 cars, and they would send cars home. They couldn't make the field. Now, you know, you're running 20 or so cars. And it's not just a Fairgrounds Speedway. It's that way all over. Racing is becoming extremely expensive.
Well, that's because it's cost prohibitive, isn't it?
It is. A good late model, competitive late model, it's going to cost $125,000 to build that. And you're racing for a purse of $2,500 at Fairgrounds Speedway. So does it make sense? Are you going to make money on it? No. It's a passion.
It's an expensive hobby.
It's a very expensive hobby. I know a racer from the Smyrna Mount Juliet area, Benny Hamlet, who I'm sure you probably are aware of, lives not too far from you. Benny and his sons have six race cars that I know of, and probably more than that. And year before last, Benny had a tough year. He wrecked his car, his pro late model. He wrecked it maybe three times during the year. Benny's lost probably close to $250,000 racing, and I asked him, Benny, why do you do this? I like it.
Yeah.
Now, Benny can, he's one of the few people that can, you know, he's not taking milk money out to pay it. He can afford it. Now, is he rich? No, but he can afford his expensive hobby, as you put it, and that's exactly what it is. Now, this year, Benny won't be racing at the fairgrounds. He and his sons will be traveling around in a new series. The International Hot Rod Association has come out with a big deal, $2 million purse for eight races, and, you know, $2,000 to start. That's more money than most tracks pay to win. So there's hope that racing will come back to an extent, but will it ever come back to the extent that it was in the mid-90s, early 90s here in Nashville? No, it's not going to. Now, and it's something we'll get into those weeds in a little bit, but it's something that Bristol Motor Speedway and SMI come in and actually, you know.
Let's hold it right there, okay?
Yeah.
That's a. We got a break. We're not going to open up that can yet, okay?
Because
we got a. There's a lot of layers we're going to peel back on that.
Boy,
one.
Are there ever.
Yeah, are there ever. 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. We are at Roy's Meat Service here in Nashville. Middle Tennessee Racing News publisher, Nashville Fairgrounds Hall of Famer, member of their advisory board, and other things operationally out there with us here this morning, right here on 94.9 The Fan. It's Greg Pogue, one-on-one with here at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville, presented by Freeman Webb. Our guest today, Terrell Davis, publisher of Middle Tennessee Racing News, and really, by the way, 31,000 followers on Facebook. I saw that. Let me tell you about first, though, Jones Glass Company, a commercial construction glazing company and family-owned and operated local business more than 50 years, announces their new residential and service company called JCJ JGC, Jones Glass Company, right? JGC Maintenance Division, serving Rutherford and surrounding counties. JGC Maintenance offers mirrors, tabletop, storm window repair, shower enclosures, commercial maintenance, and service work, and so much more. For more information, give JGC Maintenance a call, 615-624-0377, 615-624-0377. Good buddy Greg Jones, Jones Glass Company, the new division, JGC Maintenance Division. Terrell, I'm not going to get to it yet. I'm going to accent the positive, and just we're going to kick the negative down the road. Let's talk about the upcoming season at the fairgrounds and just the schedule it has. March 28th, 122 years of racing, and I guess the joke was, what was that first race like, Terrell? But I'm not going there, okay? Because I get a lot of those. But just talk about what's coming up, and then I guess it all culminates right with the All-American in November.
Yes, it does, Greg. The race on the 28th, I believe, is a CARS, C-A-R-S, Touring Series. That series is owned in part by Dale Earnhardt Jr. They will be coming to Nashville, and Kevin Harvick and Harvick's son, they will be racing in it, as far as I know. And it's going to be one of the bigger races, I think, of the
season.
Yeah,
that Z-Max is April 11th.
Yeah, okay.
Opening night is the 28th. Right?
Opening night is the 28th, excuse me. And I think they have a media event on the maybe right around that time where we all get probably on the 28th where we all get to go take pictures of the new cars and all that. But the season, I think they're going to have 9 or 10 races this year. I don't have the schedule right in front of me. You do, but.
Yeah, I got it up on the Nashville Fairground Speedway race website.
They are, it's going to be interesting to me this year to see how many cars they actually have there. The late model division toward the end of the season last year trailed off as far as car count goes. But generally at the beginning of the season, you'll have, 20, 25 cars show up, and you'll have some real hot dogs. Roy's Meat Service is involved in that. I think maybe Jackson Boone.
Jackson Boone, you can buy a JBR Jackson Boone Racing stuff right here.
Right. Yeah. I think he'll be racing some, and probably in one of the Fetcho Motorsports cars, I would imagine. And it's going to be a good year. There's a lot of the drivers, or several of the drivers, let me put it that way, that a race there will also be doing some touring series this year. So, they may not be running for the points championship at the fairgrounds this year like they have in the past, but still it's going to be a competitive year. It's going to be the Legends Series. Onyx is going to have a big show there.
That is Onyx Spring Nationals, April 16th through the 18th.
Yeah, and they will have 150 cars show up there or something like that.
Well, there's enough premium events, and I just run it real quickly. The opening night, March 28th, Z-Max Cars Tour that you referenced, and the Pro Late Models, 11th, that INEX ARCA's coming to town, May 1, 2, Rackley Roofing Battle of Broadway. I know Rackley is really supportive of everything around here. You got the Modifieds of Mayhem Tour coming in July. Bass Tire Family Night, of course, Steve Bass. You can't say enough about his support.
Steve is absolutely great. As a matter of fact, I was over visiting with he and Aaron, his general manager.
Aaron's a knucklehead. I love Aaron.
3 weeks ago. We
in a loving way.
We put new shoes on my wife's car, some new Michelins, and they did a great job, as they always do. But I really like dealing with those guys. I mean, not only are they racing supporters and have been for multi-years, they're just good people.
Yep. It culminates with the All-American 400. And the first race I ever saw at the fairgrounds was that race. And Norm Part took me down there, and he stood me right in turn one. And he said, let him come around a couple times, and you'll understand it. And, yeah, you could feel it from your inside of your gut out.
One of the first memories I have of the fairgrounds speedway was when I was 13 years old, and a buddy of mine, his dad took he and I down to see one of the NASCAR races, one of the Nashville 420s. And I remember I had a 7-Up or some 7-Up Sprite, whatever it was, in a container, and it was open, like in a cup. And when the cars came around out of turn four and started the race, the whole ground shook. I mean, it was the most exciting thing that I'd ever had happen to me up to that point. And I looked down at my soda, and it had little specks of soot and tire and everything in it, and yeah. I drank it anyway. But yeah, it's an exciting thing. And people that watch it on TV, and there are a lot of people now that watch on TV because there are a lot of, you know, streaming services you can go to, mm-hmm. and Flow and all these that you can go to and watch the races now rather than attending them. I can't do that. I have to be there. I have to feel that, like you say, that ground-pounding feeling that gets you from the gut up, you know? So that it's an exciting thing.
And you got it, and I was reading something. Larry Woody actually did a story on you that I read online, that your first exposure was 1980 at Smyrna Speedway. I live out there. Where was Smyrna Speedway?
Smyrna Speedway, if you're going up Highway 41 coming out of Smyrna toward Murfreesboro, and you see the Nissan Athletic Center there,
right?
That's where Smyrna
Speedway. Oh, really?
Was. Yeah, it was right there.
Yeah, right off Sam Ridley Parkway, right by the Nissan plant. Yeah,
right.
The Nissan. Wow. And so there was there was a racetrack there.
There was a racetrack there. It was built in the '60s, I guess, and it was a quarter mile. Started out as a dirt, and then they paved it. And you know, some legendary drivers like the James Clymers and Butch Eads and all those types of drivers. Buck Carter and all those guys they raced there, and then they raced at Nashville also, and probably Huntsville and several other places. But it was a racetrack there, and it was rough and tumbling, and you know, there's nothing unusual to go walk into the pit area and see cases of beer stacked on top of each other. Those guys had a great time, let's put it that way.
Is that where you got hooked initially? Or
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was part of it.
Like the behind-the-scenes part.
Where I got hooked was a buddy of mine who's passed on now, Mike Miller, whose dad took us to that 1963-64 races at the Fairground Speedway. He and I, for some reason, we got involved in Indianapolis racing. We kept up with it, as kids do. We kept up with it like you might keep up with baseball. We kept up with USAC IndyCar racing, and then we started keeping up with NASCAR racing, and we would get together every Sunday afternoon and listen to, when they had it on the radio, we would listen to the NASCAR race on the radio, and then we would get together on, it was a big deal for the Indianapolis 500, we'd get together and we'd listen to it on the radio. We actually had kind of funny story here. We at recess at Old Jefferson School over in Smyrna, we actually had foot races, and everybody had a NASCAR name. I was Junior Johnson. This guy, Mike Miller, was Fred Lorenzen. And I could go through a number of people that are prominent in Smyrna now that participated in this. But we kept a point system. We had a champion at the end of the year. And, you know, we worked that in with our baseball games at recesses. But I've just been eaten up with racing ever since. Now, do I have the same fervor that I had back then? No, because I'm 75 years old, and I don't have the same willingness on anything that I used to. Sort of like you and I were talking before you went on air. You said, you know, I don't get upset anymore.
Age thing. Don't give a crap factor.
Good way to put it. Yeah. Good way to put it.
That my don't give a crap factor is like peaking right now.
Yeah. Well, it's racing is, if it gets in your blood, it's like some people, Russ Thompson, you may be
familiar with. Oh, yeah, no, Russ.
Russ knows more about racing history than anybody I know. He works for IndyCar doing that very thing and has worked for NASCAR doing that very thing. Russ Thompson knows more about racing and is still as enthusiastic about racing as anybody that I know at his age. And Russ still races go-karts. It's absolutely something that gets in your blood. And when it gets in your blood, it hasn't gone away from me. And now, you know, the interesting thing is my wife, Gracie, and I, she became a racing fan, but she wasn't really into racing till 96, 97 era, when she started going to fairgrounds with me after we started Middle Tennessee Racing News. Now, we go to a racetrack, and people recognize her before they recognize me.
Yeah, I was disappointed this morning.
And that is absolute truth. I was at Duck River Raceway Park for a race back in December, and she had another engagement that had to do with grandkids. And as you well know, if anything to do with grandkids, everything else goes to second. Anyway, she was there, and I was at the race, and I bet I had 50 people come up and say, "Where's Gracie?"
Yeah.
"Where's Gracie?" Went to the banquet for Duck River Raceway Park here a couple of weeks ago, and there again she had a granddaughter function that she had to go to, and she wanted to go to. So I went to the banquet. First thing out of everybody's mouth, "Where's Gracie?"
Well, that's the first thing I said to you this morning, wasn't it, before we went on the air? "Where's Gracie?" As a matter of fact, take this. I have this Nashville Cats clear bag for Gracie as a gift. I hope she was coming right there. Okay, hey, let's take a break. We're going to get to the meat of the matter coming up next. Fairgrounds versus John Ingram. All right, I don't sugarcoat it. My crap factor, is very low. Anyway, we'll do that. Hey, Terrell Davis with us. He's the publisher of Middle Tennessee Racing News, and we're going to get to what's going on with the fairgrounds and that ongoing, let's call it a battle, because that's exactly what it is. 101 with Greg Pogue right here. Freeman Webb presents it. Roy's Meat Service on 94.9 The Fan. The weather's going to be nice today. I'll just tell you that it's going to be raining tonight and tomorrow, okay? That's Bob Lobertini's weather report. Now, that shows my age, right? Bob Lobertini.
Bob Lobertini.
On Channel 5. All right, let me read you something. Put that a little bit closer to you out there. This is credit Nate Rao, former Tennessean writer, writes now for Axios Nashville. Here we go. So there's the credit for what I'm about ready to read. Nashville mayors have been going in circles for decades over what to do with a city-owned fairgrounds racetrack, and now it's Mayor Freddie O'Connell's turn at the wheel. What's happening? Opponents say they're gearing up to pitch a plan that would explicitly prohibit racing at the fairgrounds, which has hosted auto racing since 1904. Why it matters? The situation has all the makings of a political brawl that pits neighborhood leaders, affordable housing backers, and the neighboring Nashville SC ownership against pro-racing supporters and Republican state leaders. Is that where we are?
Basically, that is where we are.
Let's start. How did we get here?
Well, we got here because for years, political leaders have been trying to do away with the Fairground Speedway so that they could put whatever they wanted to put there. The Fairgrounds land itself was explicitly left to Nashville, actually to the state of Tennessee, by a family for explicit thing to have a fair there every year and other things. And the Nashville government they've been supported up until probably the mid-90s, and then
a little refresher. Winston Cup was here up until 1984,
And when they lost Cup, they lost a big part of their income, et cetera. Now, when Bob Harmon came in 1995, he brought in NASCAR back in the Truck Series and the Busch Series. So they had full crowds. The place was rocking, probably doing better than it had done since the mid-60s. Bob Harmon sold his lease to Dover Downs, and they came in and decided that they were going to build the track out in around Lebanon.
By the way, sidebar, Middle Tennessee Racing News broke the story of where that was going to be built there in Gladeville, right in my backyard.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
I didn't give you the scoop.
No, a guy named John Zimmerman did that. But anyway, they when they decided to build that track, people naturally assumed that the Fairgrounds Speedway was just going to close. Well, it didn't.
And well, back up, because Dover promised not only the Super Speedway, but a drag strip, a short track, a road course. None of that ever came to happen.
No, it didn't. And that's a shame, because right now Middle Tennessee could be the mecca of racing in the world. Not only America, but the world. And Dover was as badly run a racing operation as any place I've ever seen. And I like the guys that worked there and everything, but it was just terribly mismanaged. But getting back to the Fairgrounds, when Carl Dean came into office, he was definitely going to get rid of the Fairgrounds Speedway. And then in 2010, there was a big pushback, and they had a referendum. And the citizens of Davidson County said that, yeah, they wanted to keep the speedway there. The flea market, I don't know, a number of other things at the Fairgrounds Speedway. And so it's there by referendum. Now, what these guys are trying to do now, the neighborhood, the people, by the way, that moved in knowing dang well that there was a speedway next to them, you know, they moved in there thinking, okay, We can get rid of this.
Let's move next to an airport and not expect planes.
Yeah, exactly. So once they got moved in and entrenched there, you know, it started back and forth. They would have neighborhood meetings about the noises too much. So then they put a curfew on. I think it's what used to be 11 or something. Now it's 10 o'clock or whatever time it is. That racing has to be over, completed by then. You can't run but X amount of events a year. If you're going to have a car show or anything that would start an engine, you have to have the approval of the fair board, yada, yada, yada. So they put a lot of restrictions on it. Then they decided somewhere along the way, John Ingram and his group came in and decided that they were going to wanted to build a soccer stadium. Well, John Ingram will tell you that he wasn't given any choices on where he could build a soccer stadium by the metro government, which is BS. But John Ingram and his group come in. They got 10 acres for free. They built the soccer stadium there. And the soccer stadium, I think they pay like $1 a year rent for that ground. Is it good for Nashville? Well, yeah, I'm not going to say if it is or isn't, because I don't know that much about soccer. But I do know this. The soccer crowds are a lot more trouble for the neighborhood than the racing crowds are, because you go over there on a soccer night, cars are parked in people's yards. I mean, it's just awful. Well, Ingram and his group want the fairgrounds for parking as much as anything else. And when you go back to, I noticed in that article you read, they mentioned affordable housing. That kind of reminds me of in the old days when the government wanted something, they would say, well, it's for the children. You know, let's do it for the kids. Well, now it's let's do it for affordable housing. First off, in Nashville, there is no such thing as affordable housing. Okay? You know, there's just not. So I don't know why that people would continue to fall for this stuff. SMI Bristol, Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, out of Charlotte and Bristol, which Speedway Motorsports owns Bristol, they proposed to come in and completely redo the Fairground Speedway, modernize it, make it a show place, bring NASCAR back to Nashville, which would be sort of like... Well, the soccer stadium announced that they're going to have, I think, one of the, what was the big deal that they're going to have?
A World Cup qualifier or something?
World Cup qualifier they're going to have an Olympic game there.
That's what it is.
Olympic game. Well, that's big news, and it's great for them. But
can they not coexist?
Yes, they can, but Ingram doesn't want that, Greg. Ingram wants the whole ball of wax so that he can put there what he wants to put there. They're trying to come up with a new referendum. The mayor is against that referendum. Actually, the Bristol deal has been kicked around now for 7 years. I know for a fact that the mayor, whether he says it or not publicly, the mayor and Bristol have agreed in principle to a deal. It's set there. I mean, Nashville will make money off of it. They will make $1 million a year and just initial rent. And when you add all the naming rights and all that stuff on it, they're going to make two or three times that. That's more than they're making off the soccer stadium, I guarantee you. Probably more than they're making off of Bridgestone or any other facilities that they have sports in. There's no reason why this Bristol deal shouldn't go through, with the exception that John Ingram doesn't want it to go through. John Ingram is the problem here. It's not, you know, the mayor has not gone ahead and pulled the trigger on this deal. For whatever reason, I highly suspect it's because John Ingram has him by the short hairs. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Now, there's things going on in the state legislature that will hopefully help make things happen. You know, there's been some threats on monies that were proposed for the East Bank that, well, if Ingram doesn't get his way, he's going to pull that money that was for, guess this, what, affordable housing. Well, the state stepped in and said, you know, we have guaranteed $4 or $5 million, whatever it is, for the East Bank. If we can't get the Speedway deal done, then we're not going to do that. So it's a whizzing contest.
Yeah, we got a PP match going on.
PP match going on. Yep. So where's it all going to end? I really don't know. I know that Jerry Caldwell with Bristol Speedway is a good friend of mine. He's one of the best human beings I've ever met. I'll be honest with you. Aside from being a great businessman, he's just a good human being. John Ingram could take some lessons from him. He needs to go live with Jerry for a while and get his soul right.
Middle Tennessee Racing News publisher Terrell Davis, he is our guest today. 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. And I know Bill Freeman, who has supported many of my endeavors over the years, supports the track as more. And he said to me, and God rest his soul, is that I've got millions. John Ingram has billions.
And this is true. And John Ingram has billions because his family had billions. John Ingram had to make his money on his own. I'm afraid John Ingram would be probably flipping burgers at, you know, Hardee's or something. I don't know that. And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. But you know, Bill Freeman, when he was running for mayor, and unfortunately he did not win, had Bill Freeman won the mayor's race, all that Speedway deal would have been done years ago.
Yeah.
You know, he was very supportive of it. And, you know, the whole soccer deal and how it come about with contracts being signed, blank contracts, without anything being filled in, literally the Fair Board signing off on a blank contract, and then it got filled in later. I don't know if that's legal or illegal, but it seems like it's not fair. You know, what do you do with stuff like that, Greg? I mean, you've been around sports, and you've been around when the Titans.
I just think y'all should be able to get along. There's enough for everybody.
There's enough
for everybody.
And not only that, but they could co-promote. They could coexist. Yep. They could use each other's facilities for various things. I mean, you know, but that's not what John wants. And John has always gotten what John wanted. So maybe he will this time. I don't know. But
let's take a break.
Hopefully it'll get better.
Yeah. Middle Tennessee Racing News publisher Terrell Davis with us here, really a legend in the racing scene here in Nashville. We'll be back and wrap it up one-on-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, right here, Roy's Meat Service on 94.9 The Fan. Usually this one-on-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service, the 10 o'clock hour, but coming up at 10:45 here on 94.9 The Fan, pregame and then first pitch, Vanderbilt and Texas Tech. They fell 5-4 yesterday. Listened to a lot of that yesterday with Andrew Allegretta on the call at the Shriners Children's College Showdown down in Arlington, Texas. They've got Oklahoma State tomorrow morning at 10:30. That's over on 102.5. The game. Going to wrap it up here with Terrell Davis. We didn't just got about a couple minutes. You'll tell the people how we first met real quickly. We got a couple minutes.
We first met, I guess it was around 1989, 1990.
A little bit earlier than that, but that's cool.
At Wayne Odom had a publication called Active Lifestyles of Over 50 or something like that.
Right.
I forget now. And I was an advisor for him. And you came in as his editor of that publication, and that's how we met and have been good friends ever since.
Yeah, you said, actually, I was gotten out of the newspaper business. I was living in Gulf Shores and had met a girl. It was a little bit earlier than what you had said, but in Robin, who I'm married to now, and I wanted to get back up here, but I didn't want to go back to Bowling Green, and I applied and was hired out of 500 candidates. And then what'd you say the other day? Here's this, who's this? Young rat, right?
Well, Odom, he hired me to sort of advise what he should do, and he brings you in and says, this is our editor, and I'm looking at you, and you're, I don't know what, how old you were.
28.
And I'm going like, Wayne, this publication is for over 50, and you bring a guy in half their age, he don't know what the hell he's doing. And actually, it worked out really well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here I am. I'm still here. Yeah. Hey, thanks for doing this. Your friendship and Gracie, tell her, give her a hug, Valentine's Day hug from me. Thank you for doing this. Middle Tennessee Racing News for 30-plus years.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Greg.
And you got your point across on
yes,
where you stood on the fairgrounds. Let's hope. I mean, I hope common sense prevails and greed seemingly wins too much these days.
Well, I hope so. We pray so.
So what's next?
Next is going to the Duck River on the 22nd.
Really?
For a race.
Yeah, Duck River, Highland Rim.
Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Golden Mountain. I mean, there's...
Where's Golden Mountain?
Up around Chattanooga.
Okay.
There's a lot of good tracks in Tennessee still going. The best track I know of, best run track I know of right now is probably Duck River Raceway Park. It's a quarter-mile dirt track. It's a blast if you get a chance.
What is it?
Check them out.
Tullahoma?
It's between Shelbyville and Lewisburg in a place called, obviously, Wheel, Tennessee.
I always heard Duck River, and I've been to Highland Rim, but I've never been to Duck River. Brandon, roll the music, and that's going to be my cue to get on out of here when the music rolls. If not, we could just close this thing up. Chase McCabe will be back next Saturday. And then the Saturday after that is I've got Lady Raiders basketball duties as well. Thank you, Terrell. Appreciate
you,
buddy.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. Thank you, Brandon. Hey, coming up again at 10:45, it'll be the pregame, 11 o'clock, first pitch, Vanderbilt, Texas Tech baseball down in Arlington. Have a great rest of your Valentine's Day. Thanks for listening.